This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome to the show. David Allen in for Paul J. I believe we're still on track for a Tuesday return for Paul J.
That will be great.
Feeling poorly. Yeah, that'll be good for everybody. The listeners, me. You, the listeners, me, you. David Allen, Chris Walton, Todd with 1D here. Let's talk about our neighbors to the north.
Not Alberta. You mean Montana.
The good folks in Montana.
Yeah. You know, Montana, much like Wyoming, only has one congressional seat. I mean, yes. Obviously everybody has two senators. But they only have one congressman. And normally, if you're the congressman from Montana, you don't get a lot of press.
Normally, no.
Of course, this is, a lot of things are contentious right now in Congress. And recently in the East, there was one open seat that ended up going to a Democrat where a Republican had held the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that adds one more Democrat into the fray.
Yes.
And the same thing was maybe going to happen or maybe still, will happen. I don't know. In Montana, where they had Ryan Zinke, who was their congressman in Montana, and he was named Secretary of the Interior in part of Donald Trump's cabinet. So that leaves the post open. And, in Montana, some places, I think the governor would just choose.
You can appoint somebody.
Yeah,
yes.
You can just appoint somebody to fill out the rest of the term. Not so in Montana, where they have to have a special election. And it's today, for those of you who haven't been paying attention to it, it's Republican Greg Gianforte and Democrat Rob Quist. And there's been a huge push by the Democrats to get Rob Quist elected. Bernie Sanders has been showing up and campaigning for him, and it's just been a huge push. Well, these guys from Montana that normally wouldn't be probably noticed by the entire rest of the country, all of a sudden are in the spotlight. And
yes.
So everything they say, everything they do is making headlines. And that's both Quist and Gianforte. So there's a lot of pressure.
Certainly.
Yeah. And some people, and I may know who one of them is now, can break under that kind of a pressure if they're not used to it.
Yeah. It's a different kind of pressure than day-to-day life.
Yeah. And it's different than running for governor of Montana, anything like that, which, by the way, he did also. But there's a lot of pressure involved. And part of pressure is that you are constantly being hounded by press and various other people.
Yes.
And you're being, maybe if you're a famous person, you're being asked to do all sorts of things, and it runs you ragged.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that's what happened to Gianforte. And he was, to be fair, he was being badgered by a reporter. But then, depending on whom you believe, he allegedly grabbed the reporter by the neck and threw him to the ground, and screamed at him and punched him in the face, according to people who were in that room. Now, according to his own website, they said that it was actually the reporter that grabbed his arm, and then somehow they got all twisted up and ended up on the floor. But none of the witnesses said that's what happened.
Exactly, yeah.
So, it sounds like it.
A little bit of background on this. I guess this reporter has been after both candidates, but maybe certainly the Republican more. I don't know. Talking about the Affordable Care repeal and replace bill.
Yeah.
And Gianforte said, I'm not going to comment on that until the numbers come out.
Well, the numbers came out yesterday.
The numbers came out, and that's when
the Congressional Budget Office.
Yes, exactly.
And they didn't look good.
Yeah.
In fact, the first thing the Congressional Budget Office said was, well, you know how we gained 20 million people with health insurance under Obamacare? Well, we're going to lose 23 million people.
And so
not only will we lose the 20 million people who got it under Obamacare, they're saying, but 3 million more people won't have health insurance. And so those... it's kind of hard to campaign on that and say, hey, unless the main thing is I'm saving people money. And then they said rates will go down for everybody. Of course, so will the service, because you won't have nearly as much coverage as you had before, but at least you'll have low rates.
Well, and I guess literally The second that Congressional Budget Office report came out, this reporter was in his face.
Yeah.
Asking, because that's okay. I'm not saying that in a negative way. You're allowed to do that as a reporter. You're allowed to get questions. I mean, as long as you're not being violent and literally smashing someone in the face with your microphone.
Yeah.
If somebody says, hey, I'll talk about that when the CBO numbers come out, and you're like, hey, well, CBO numbers just came out.
But you've seen this.
Give me your comment before.
You've seen this in the halls of the Capitol building and in the Senate building and in the House building and at the White House, where guys are walking by and reporters are trying to ask them as many questions as possible, and they just kind of keep walking.
Yes.
And they do it with kind of an air of cool.
Yep.
You know, which says, I'm not going to answer that right now. I'll talk to you later. Or they say something nice to them, like, hey, good to see you, and just keep going without answering the question. Well, Gianforte didn't do that last night. He kind of exploded, and he was very, very angry. I can understand the anger. However, in this particular case, they were under a microscope.
And
everybody's looking at this race, and everybody suddenly knows their names. And, of course, everybody's trying to dig up something in their past, both of them. And that's Republican Greg Gianforte and Democrat Rob Quist.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, Gianforte gets into this scrap last night. And he has been charged with misdemeanor assault.
Misdemeanor assault. And two papers.
And that was based on what the other people in the room, who, by the way, I think were all reporters, said.
The Missoulian and the Billings Gazette have both rescinded their endorsements of him.
Oh, that's probably not good.
I will tell you after the break why that might not mean a damn thing.
Good point.
8:45 now at 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 8:50, David and Chris here with you, talking about the brouhaha up in Montana.
Which sounds like a beer festival.
It does. It's not exactly. Greg Gianforte, the Republican candidate for the Montana U.S. House special election, body slamming a reporter, charged with simple misdemeanor.
Or, depending upon whom
assault.
You ask, getting into a scuffle with a reporter.
That's true. And before the break, I told you why the two newspapers pulling their endorsements of him might not matter.
Yeah, you said that. You haven't told us why yet.
I know.
But you did say that it might not matter.
First of all, he was leading in almost all the polls going into yesterday and starting into today. And the reason it might not matter is that for all the people who early voted for him, those votes are already in.
Yeah.
And that's why early voting shouldn't happen.
Really?
Because you never know when a candidate is going to do something ridiculous or get caught in a scandal.
Well, assuming that would stop you from voting from them, you know, based on principle or something. But
if it's me.
I mean, if you're a Republican and you don't want the Democrat to be elected, you'll probably vote for the Republican even if something happens.
Okay.
And vice versa.
If I was in Montana and I was backing Greg in this and I hadn't voted yet.
Right. You would now be voting for Quist?
I would not vote.
Oh, I see.
I would not vote because I'm not going to go there.
Because you wouldn't want to go down and vote for a guy after something like that.
Yeah. A guy who gets arrested on misdemeanor assault charges the day before the election. I'm just not doing it.
Well,
I don't think early voading is good unless you're going to be out of the state.
And by the way, somebody said last night, they said, I thought assault was a felony. Well, there are two different kinds of felony.
Yes.
And in Montana, there's misdemeanor assault. Yeah, that's misdemeanor assault. There's two kinds of assault. That's what I should say. Misdemeanor assault and felony assault. And felony assault generally is judged by how badly the person was hurt.
Yes.
And this guy hurt his elbow, but it was just bruised up and he didn't break a bone or anything. The guy's glasses did break, but you can replace those.
Yeah.
So they got him for misdemeanor assault, which means, I mean, you could get 6 months in jail. He probably won't for this particular situation.
He'll have to do community service or something.
When you hear the audio, it's very weird because it's different than what Gianforte's website said. Because he said, you know, he was constantly being badgered, and it sounds like the guy is asking him a question a couple of times, but you know, I've seen reporters practically, you know, make a person want to jump off
Goodness,
a cliff,
yes.
and this wasn't like that. Yeah. However, he was bothering him, and this was a newspaper that had written bad things about him before, and so he was angry. But when you are running for office, that's exactly the sort of thing that people try to get you to do. To snap somehow.
Yes, they will try to set the bear trap out for you.
And then all of a sudden, and I'm not saying necessarily this reporter did that, because, you know, reporters just have to check things out regardless. But
our hot cross buns are done. Jason and Star, you're on 670 KVOI. How are you today?
Hi, morning.
Morning.
Oh, man. I could care less what's going on up there. I think it's boring news, actually. It's just drama. But it is wrong. It was inappropriate. You got to face the consequences. But I'd still vote for him. As far as I'm concerned, our nation's at a tipping point. It's so polarized. We're kind of in a de facto civil political war. And I don't want Americans hurting each other. I don't want people shooting and murdering and burning down the nation. But, you know, our nation is built on two great wars, the Revolution and the Civil War. And if some guys are patriotic and angry and throw a few punches, I'm not going to hold it against them. You know, I'm not going to stand in the way if the law says, hey, you committed a crime. You got to answer for it. But I don't blame him. I think a lot of us want to punch the media in the nose. No different than the crazies in Berkeley burning down places and bashing up stuff.
Let me ask you this real quick, Jason, and you're right, it does get frustrating sometimes, and I can see where Joe Average might want to punch a reporter or any of those people in Berkeley. But don't you want your elected officials to be a little bit more calmer and more level-headed than you and me?
Yeah, if they're gonna fly off the handle and nuke a nation, sure. But I mean, we had, you know what, Hamilton and Burr had duels. I mean, I understand we think we're so enlightened, but human beings haven't really evolved and changed much. You know, there's still going to be a time and a place where people are going to think that the civil route isn't working anymore, and America is. The blood of tyrants and patriots are supposed to be spilled from time to time, so says Thomas Jefferson, and I'm not advocating for anything. I'm a mild...
Sure, sure. No, understood. Yeah.
But I realize we're in a time and place in our nation where people feel like their nation's been taken over by one side or another. So while I don't agree with the other side, I at least respect and get that if they think they have to lash out because, you know... I get what's going on, and I'm not saying it's right, but I get it, and I don't really fault people, you know? I mean, if he pulled out a gun and shot the guy, I'm like, dude, I'd take you down, too.
Sure, understood. But, yeah, you know. Yeah. All right, Jason, thanks for checking in. We appreciate the call, man. Have a good rest of your day.
Yep.
I'm sure I'm naive, and I have a different... I have a different outlook on that, and that's why I asked Jason about it, is mm-hmm. that I always want, whether it's president or House of Representatives or Congress, I want my elected officials to be more level-headed than me. And not fly off the handle and have to be, like yesterday, talked off the ledge because I say round everybody up.
Well, and this is the deal. If you were in a situation like he's in, and like I said, I'm not saying necessarily this reporter was doing that. I don't know. I wasn't there. You know, there are eyewitness accounts, and of course you hear the audio. But,
sure.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes people get badgered. Like, I know they do this with TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters badger people until they get angry and do something stupid so they can get it on TMZ and... You know,
sure.
and make news that way.
But if Kanye does something stupid, I don't care.
Well, but that's, I don't know, a reporter shouldn't be the story.
No, exactly. But in many ways, they always are. And if Kanye does something stupid, I actually encourage that. I would like that more, not less. Is that just me?
I don't think so.
All right, national news, local news, come up next on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. I just found this on ABC News, so I apologize for ambushing you, Chris. But that's what I do. Because the GOP...
Don't worry, I'll try not to you know, grab you by the throat and put you down.
Thank you, I would appreciate that. The GOP health care bill obviously is a big deal, and that the CBO came out about that yesterday, and we talked a little bit about that last half hour.
And they were not particularly complimentary.
No, exactly. People, this is from ABCnews.com. People shopping for insurance through the Affordable Care Act in yet more regions will be facing higher prices and fewer choices next year as insurance companies lay out their early plans for 2018. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina is asking regulators for a 23% price hike next year mm-hmm. because it doesn't expect crucial payments from the federal government to continue. That announcement comes a day after Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City said it will leave the individual market next year.
Pulling out of the state of Missouri, yeah.
A decision that affects about 67,000 people in a 32-county area in Kansas and Missouri. Other insurers such as Aetna and Humana have also said they will abandon this kind of coverage, though some, including Centene, say they will stick around.
I think it's safe to say we don't have this all figured out just yet.
Yeah, and that's why everybody who hated the ACA, slow your roll, and everybody who hates the GOP healthcare bill, slow your roll. And I don't know that it's ever going to be perfect to where people are covered and insurance companies make money. And I know that's a sticking point for a lot of people, but at the end of the day, insurance companies are businesses that need to make money. They're in the money-making business. Now, do they need a 23% hike in their, you know, payments? I don't know that because I haven't seen the bottom line. I haven't seen a P&L, but and that's why I don't think that the federal government should be in the healthcare business.
Okay.
I think if the states want to do something.
Yeah. Well, Idaho's exchange is actually, as far as I know, working out fairly
works pretty well.
Fairly well so far.
And obviously, the Massachusetts
From what we have heard.
Yeah. The Massachusetts one is the best measuring stick for that because it works perfectly.
Which they had before. Yeah.
Yes. It works perfectly for them.
And Romney was the one who put that in.
Yes.
So.
And on a state level, that kind of makes sense because the state government will know more about what the state needs in attention to people who are out of work or undervalued or however they want to look at it.
And then this is the same conversation we could probably have about 200 different subjects.
Yes, 100% agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I, we've talked a lot about the Constitution this week. I think you and I are big believers, I think so anyway, that states' rights is a big deal and it should work more.
If you do read the Bill of Rights, in fact, read all of the 27 of them in total, the amendments, and you will see that the states are supposed to take care of an awful lot of things, not the federal government.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, I wanted to throw that out there because it came across on ABCnews.com. Today, a couple of things with Donald Trump, one old, one new, and one deals with the Manchester tragedy from earlier in the week that we've talked about quite a bit.
Sure.
Theresa May not happy with Donald Trump. And the leaks about the Manchester investigation that are coming out. So she was going to talk to him today and say, dude, we're not going to share stuff with you. She obviously said that in a British accent. We are not going to share stuff with you if it's going to keep getting leaked. So Trump has come out today and he says, we're going to find out where the leak is. I don't know how that's possible. And we will prosecute whoever did it.
Yeah.
Which is what the White House should be doing. If there are leaks of federal information, they should be finding out who it is and prosecuting them. My question, I have one question about this. Have you ever seen more leaks in a White House in your life? And why is
well,
that?
Well, when I was a kid in the early 70s.
Well, that's true. That's a very good point, yeah. Right around 1973-ish.
Yeah, 72, 3, 4, 5, along in there.
Seemed to be quite a bit. I don't understand why people can't keep their mouth shut on stuff that
apparently they don't want to.
And is it because a lot of them are politicians?
Probably a lot of them are either, I don't know what you'd call them, diplomats or politicians or bureaucrats, but they are people who I think fear that maybe, you know, the way they make a living might disappear in this particular, well, not regime, but you know what I'm saying.
No, yeah. Political climate.
In this administration.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, in this political climate, people don't want to lose their jobs. And so if they suspect something might be going wrong, they call up their reporter friend and say, hey, something might be going wrong. Well, nobody knows anything, but suddenly it's, you know, an anonymous White House source or souse, you know, depending on what time of day they call.
That's true. If it's 5 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, exactly. Said this. And, you know, it's... How do you refute something like that? Well, who was your anonymous source? Well, they wouldn't be anonymous if I told you, would they?
Really.
No, but then we could check on what they know and figure out where they got the information. I mean, I've worked for newspapers, and of course, I was a sports writer, and nobody has to have an anonymous source when you're a sports writer.
Sure.
Everybody wants to get in the newspaper. But in politics, it's different.
It is very different.
And in Washington, especially. Well, and we were talking about the guy from Montana. That this could hurt him. I don't know that it'll hurt him in Montana. In Montana, they might think, you know, he should have put the guy down on the floor because the guy was badgering him, and we don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be and all there is to it. And as you said, a lot of the votes were in already. So even if people wanted to change their mind, they already voted. But when you get to Washington, if you're going if you're going to explode under, you know, one reporter badgering you about something in Washington, they will eat you alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's... And the thing is, I don't think that's necessarily going to turn people from a Republican into a Democrat in Montana, because somebody would eat them alive. But he, if he ends up going to Washington, well, possibility he could have to do some jail time in Montana. But if he ends up going to Washington, I'm thinking that he will have to learn quickly.
Sure. And then Trump arrived this morning at the NATO. It's the new they have new offices there, a new building, new ceremony in Brussels. And he arrived this morning and said, A, we're not too happy about all the payments that aren't coming, and you guys need to step up and start paying your bills. What do you think about him saying that today in front of all the other NATO leaders? And this is obviously after, as they were on MSNBC, he called NATO obsolete during the campaign.
That was one of the things he campaigned on.
Yeah.
That he thought the United States was having to take too much of a role and pay too much compared to what the other countries were doing.
Yes.
So I get he's sticking to that. There have been several things that he campaigned on that he has since changed his mind about. But this apparently is not going to be one of them. And it takes I don't know whether it takes a certain amount of courage. I'm on the other, 180.
Bravado.
Or you could call it chutzpah, depending on how you feel about it. But it takes a certain amount of courage to stand up there and tell those guys, okay, here's the deal. And see, deal is what he prides himself on being able to do well. Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to make a better deal. Now, it may work, it may not work. And part of the reason it may not was, with the exception of France, most of these people have more experience at being part of these summits and things than he does. But, you know, if it does work, I mean, you know, well done. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And like I say, I don't know what direction it is. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but he's sticking to what he said during the campaign. And after he took office, I wonder if that affects any of his poll numbers. We saw this come out yesterday, where his approval rating is up to 48% now, which is pretty much on par with other presidents.
Well,
you're never going to get
the thing that he's
80%.
The thing that he's been doing the past week or so is he's been acting more like somebody representing the United States.
Yes.
Okay. Not tweeting.
He hasn't tweeted in a long time, has he?
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's just not doing it when he's overseas, and that's probably a good thing. But he's not giving these knee-jerk reactions to things, and it seems a little calmer for a week or so. You know, there aren't people up in arms about this and up in arms about that. Naturally, there are lots of people still up in arms about lots of stuff.
Sure.
But his particular behavior isn't one of the things right now. And it really never should be. You know, and so if he can, I don't know. I don't want to use that word presidential, because it's been overused lately, simply because, you know, people act like as long as you're not doing something incredibly stupid, you're being presidential.
Yeah.
Which there's more to it than that, obviously.
Yeah.
But I will say, at least carrying himself, you know, in a dignified manner for the most part.
Yes.
And I think people would just like to see that sort of thing, and they'd like to see it in Washington as well. In fact, I think they want their congressmen, their senators, and everybody to do that in Washington. Just be dignified and talk things over and you know, figure out the best way to do things, rather than just constantly be insulting one another. And then, you know, after 2 years, you realize nothing's been done at all.
What is your impression of Donald Trump on his first big international voyage? You know, he's visited a lot of countries so far, and he's, again, I'm with you, I don't really want to use the phrase presidential, but he's been a little bit different than the blustery guy he was here in the States. He's still very forceful, still very outspoken.
Well, he's been considerably more diplomatic.
Yeah. So I'm curious as to what everybody's thoughts are so far in the early going on the first time that Trump is going and actually meeting foreign leaders on foreign soil.
Right.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. We'll talk to you next on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Actually, remember, you're listening to David Allen and Chris. I almost stumbled over my own name. That's terrible. Hey, KBOI rewards code, Body Slam.
Is that one word?
It is one word,
yes. I haven't watched enough wrestling to know that.
Oh, well,
I'll see you Friday night at the Civic Center. And I'm going to body slam you.
Yes, exactly, by which I mean professional wrestling.
Exactly. Rewards code is body slam. Go to KBOI.com. Enter the keyword body slam. Get your 5,000 reward points and become the international champion. Joe in Meridian, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
We are doing very well. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you bet. So I got to listen to President Trump's speech this morning. Mm-hmm. I watched it. And I actually thought it was very strong. I've been part of organizations before where we all had to pay dues, different business owners. And if one particular business was paying a lot more dues than the others, because it's all on GDP, so it's all on, it's fair, it's a fair scale, 2% for everyone, what's left over, you have 98%. So it's a really fair scale. So for one to be paying a lot more than the others isn't fair, and everybody should pay the same percentage. It doesn't mean it's the same dollar amount. Countries that don't make as much aren't going to pay as much, but
sure.
It's a fair scale. And when he said that it wasn't fair to the American taxpayers, when I heard him say that, I was like, he's right. And I pay a lot of money in taxes, and, you know, I just want it to be fair. That's all.
Okay. All right, Joe, thanks for calling in. I don't think anybody can disagree with fair.
Yeah, I was going to say fairness doesn't seem like too much to
doesn't seem like. Hey, Rich in Boise, you got 2 minutes, my man. How are you, brother?
Well, Chris was kind of hitting on it a little bit. Yeah, Trump's gone 5 or 6 days without saying anything stupid. I mean, I don't know how when he was in Saudi Arabia, he left out that Islamic terrorist stuff that most of your callers just seems to think would end all the conflict if President started using
I'm thinking he wanted to get out of there alive.
Yeah, and the reason why Obama didn't use that is because, or even Bush before, is because it offends the people on our side, not because it offends ISIS.
Yeah.
I guess he can be sane. I mean, a couple of months ago, he was saying NATO was obsolete.
Yeah.
Now he's wanting to, you know. So I mean, I don't know.
Did you see yesterday?
He'll say anything to anybody.
So. It was a little awkward yesterday, and everybody was making note of it. Fox, CNN, and MSNBC that he was getting ready to land in Brussels just months after calling it a hellhole.
Well, and there were people at the airport who were letting him know about that too.
Yeah. Well, he'll say anything, any group, you know, like. And the things that will help get him elected, I imagine there's a certain percentage of people in this country who are anti-NATO, and that riles him up. Then we have Israel can't trust us with classified information. It was legal for Trump to release that classified information, but it still was a stupid thing to do. And now, you know, I mean, how could any country trust us with classified information if the president can just, in a moment of bragging to somebody, just spill it out?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't do anything about it. The only thing they can do is say, well, we'll give you this information, but don't share it with your president.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate you calling in.
And I'm reasonably sure that you can't keep something like that from a president.
Well, and the thing is, I wonder if it's so much that he said something to someone or that he said something to a Russian diplomat. To where if he had the Israel information and given it to Great Britain,
combination,
if it would have been a bad thing. I don't know. 9:26 News with Rick is next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 937-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Let's go to the phones. Tom in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI.
Well, I have two comments. One is the question you asked about how well Trump is doing, not only his tour and work.
Sure.
I think for a president who has basically defeated what was considered to be a shoo-in election for a Democrat, and essentially the press doing everything they can to basically destroy him, I think he's doing fantastic. And that also brings up the second question, is that in the Constitution, there is nothing about that says freedom of the press. We have what we call freedom of speech. And the question I would have...
No, it's in there. It's in the First Amendment.
Okay. The question I would have, at what point does the freedom of the press end and common sense take over to the point that we have a situation where reporters or individuals who want to be super belligerent well, reach a point where they lose that privilege of being able to have freedom of the press, or when they publish information that either is not accurate mm-hmm. or has not had substantial any kind of review to confirm it's accurate. I mean, because you and I could both sit at a computer someplace and send a note to somebody on the press, and if it fits into their political agenda, saying we have an anonymous tip that so-and-so is happening, only to discover a few days later that it's not true.
Right. We do have libel laws in this country. And so if you say something about somebody that isn't true, you can be sued by them for libel, and you will more than likely lose, and your organization will have to pay them, you know, however much money the jury says. And then, of course, but if you say it, you know, out loud, don't write it, then it's slander. But it's the same sort of thing. If you are lying about somebody and it hurts their reputation, yeah, you can be taken down for that, and it'll cost you, you know, your reputation and everything. There are naturally a lot of people who write who don't seem to care about that.
That seems to be the truth. And, you know, and I guess, you know, from a citizen standpoint of view, for years, I don't mean this derogatorily, I believed everything that happened in the press. But then when I started getting involved in the process of working with politicians and dealing with issues, I would hear a story and I would say, that's not the complete truth. Mm-hmm. For all the time, I was basically taking what the press says. So I guess my feeling is that with the freedom of press, in my opinion, there should be some responsibility to them to make sure that the information they're presenting is accurate, right, and not just opinions. And I realize, for example, I don't read the Statesman anymore because there used to be an editorial page, and now they have one that starts at the beginning of the paper and it goes to the end. And there are TV or radio programs I don't listen to because they're all editorial. Mm-hmm. And so I have that freedom. I don't have to subscribe to those particular organizations.
Sure.
And the challenge I'm having is that as a country, we don't seem to be asking the press to be responsible for their right of being able to publish what they want. And I think the issue, in my opinion personally, is that if you're a reporter and you publish a story, it has to be confirmed by three or four sources. I mean, even going back, looking at the days when the press, quote-unquote, brought down, you know, Richard Nixon, even those reporters who did those kind of things were confirming the story by one or two other sources.
Sure. Yeah, but that's true. And they were originally getting the story from one guy who turned out, oddly enough, to be from Twin Falls, Idaho in the end.
Right.
But yes, they were actually checking it out to make sure that was happening. He was just telling them how to, you know, go about reporting the story.
Correct. Yeah. But I'm saying the situation was that we have reached the point.
I get it.
Our society. Yeah. So, you got to go.
All right, Tom. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Have a good day.
And to be fair, like any other profession, there are really good journalists,
yep,
and there are really bad ones,
yep,
and there's a whole lot of them that are in the middle. The really good ones get things right. Now,
yes,
there are plenty of people who say, well, this is right as I see it. And if you look back in the history books, in any history book, and that's why people are constantly revising history books, is because they find out new information and they say, well, the guy who wrote about this, that reported on this, you know, he got a few things wrong because he had a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they say, history is written by the winners.
Yes.
So if you win a war, you write the history of it.
Yes.
And generally, it makes it look like...
You come out looking really good.
Yeah, you come out smelling like a rose.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can send in 10 reporters to report on the exact same story, and they can come out with different stories.
Yep.
Ideally, everything that can be fact-checked, they will get correct. But a lot of times, they will come to the wrong conclusions and sometimes the right ones. And again, like I said, the good ones are right most of the time. I don't think everybody's right 100% of the time, but the really good ones, when they get something wrong, they actually say so and apologize for
it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I've got some instant messages.
Okay.
Boise Rabble Rouser says, according to the CBO, not only over 10 years would 23 million lose health care and coverage, 12 million of them would lose it in the first year. This bill gives a $650 billion tax cut to the wealthy while screwing the little people. You didn't hear it here first, but Dems will sweep into control of Congress next year. And Mike R. of Boise says, although Chris can downplay John Forte's assault by calling it a scuffle, body slamming, and as reported by a Fox News reporter, punching a victim is more than a scuffle. The only reason I said that is because there are differing accounts. The candidate himself indicates that it was the reporter that caused all the trouble. And, of course, the reporter indicates that it was the – and I'm just calling it a scuffle, I said it was either a body slam or possibly a scuffle. I don't know. The only thing I'm saying for sure is that I wasn't in the room. So, you know, it just depends on who you believe.
And you and I talked about it in the break, Boise mm-hmm. Admiral Rouser's instant message. I know what the CBO is saying about how many people will be off the health care. Mm-hmm. My question is, did they break that down to how many people actually don't want to have health care?
Like, for instance, you're single.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can shop around
yes.
and actually probably find a pretty good deal
yeah,
for yourself.
Exactly. But yeah. if I don't want to be on this new GOP bill, yeah.
will you now have to pay a fine?
Or, yeah. You know? Am I part it's of the 51 question. Million? It's just a different look. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying I'd like to see the breakout numbers.
Patrick of Caldwell says, LOL, funny you should have a Visit Montana PSA in the middle of this story. I didn't hear it, but
ooh,
I'm sure
I missed
did.
It too. Maybe, might have been just online.
Maybe they should amend the message to say, Visit Montana, come get mauled by a politician and take home warm memories and a black eye.
Visit Montana for the World Championship Wrestling Ring.
Deanna in Meridian says, I know you reporters all think you walk on water, but it is time you realize it isn't right to treat anyone like trash. Why do you think it is okay to destroy a person's life? You need to get real jobs. Okay, if you're
actually is a real job.
I'm going to go ahead and assume you're not just talking to the two of us. You may be, but you know that's fine. I don't think that I walk on water. You might be thinking of Jesus, and people rarely mix me up with Jesus.
Or Eddie Money.
Or anybody like that.
Exactly.
Dave of Boise says, remember, it's Montana we are talking about. The people, and that's kind of a point that I made this mm-hmm, morning. Mm-hmm. I said, just because a guy body slams a reporter in Montana might not necessarily mean that he's not going to win. Dave of Boise said, okay, and he says, remember, it's Montana we're talking about. The people there are wired a little different than the rest of the country. I think a good old-fashioned punch in the nose should be absolutely legal as long as the person has it coming. There are a lot of folks out, that can be an argument, too.
Yeah.
There are a lot of folks out there that deserve a punch or two. It would teach them there are consequences to their stupidity. Now, the thing I completely 100% agree with on that is there are consequences to stupidity.
Exactly.
And quite often there are consequences to even getting it right.
Yeah. 9:45. We've got some calls. We'll take them next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. This portion of the show sponsored by Traffic Text Alerts. Good weather, bad weather, traffic can always be a problem. Make sure you avoid all the problems by getting traffic text alerts to your smartphone. Simply text the word DRIVE to 67664. You'll be part of the traffic network from Right Now Traffic and 670 KBOI. Let's head over to the phones and go to Buck in Meridian. Buck, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and I love that politician from Montana. I don't know him, don't know much about him,
sure.
But I can guarantee you one thing. He's overnight become the most popular politician in Montana, and a tremendous strategy punching out some smart jerk of a reporter. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Buck. We appreciate it.
Well, and, you know, we don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, of course, people... people who assume that everybody who votes, you know, is going to have, or at least a certain percentage of them are going to have a knee-jerk reaction to something, will say that, oh, now that he's done this, there's no way he can win the election. On the other hand, like we've been saying, he could get more votes because of this. We don't know.
Exactly.
We'll have to find out tonight.
Let's head to Chuck and Eagle. Chuck, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Good. Good morning, gentlemen. I just had a comment about the call from Tom a few minutes ago
mm-hmm.
regarding the press. Sure, the press has its bias. The press has always had its bias. You do a little study of history. There were those for and against Jefferson. There were those for and against Lincoln and the Union and whatever. It's a matter of we have, especially in this day and age, we have the ability to sort things out and get to the truth. It's when you start limiting yourself, when you say, I'll no longer read The Statesman.
Mm-hmm.
I'll no longer listen to Rush. I don't watch MSNBC, whatever. Then you're denying yourself the truth because you need the points of view. you go in understanding that there is a slant, there is a bias, and you sort it out. But it's there.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I've been telling people for a few weeks that you know, it's the news is more exciting now than it's been in a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, yeah. You know, a lot of it is for dramatic effect because they're going for ratings. But I like to watch like a half an hour or an hour of MSNBC and then watch like a half hour or an hour of Fox, because I will see the same story reported on and you hear completely different things. I mean, you know, MSNBC very far left, Fox very far right.
Exactly, but the truth is in there.
Yeah, it's in there someplace. And then on CNN, you know, they get a panel of like eight people who just talk over the top of each other, and that gives me a headache.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Chuck, have a great rest of your day, sir. Thanks for calling in. Bye. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff in CUNA. Jeff, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Yeah, fairly well. You guys?
We are doing well. Thank you.
That's good. Hey, you know, the interesting thing is, for the past I don't know how many months, I've been taught by the media that if you don't agree with somebody's views, you're supposed to riot and attack them, because Portland, Berkeley, I don't know how many other colleges, some speakers coming that they don't like what they've said before or what might say, you riot.
Do you think there's something in sea air?
that happens to occur near the coast? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, yeah, the further you get from the east or the west coast, the less you see that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It also could be the left coast doing it, but, you know, that's another thing. But, no, if you think about it, is the media, you know, when those riots are happening on the campuses, it was conservative speakers, they deserved it. Well, then you see this happen up in Montana, and it's like, oh, my God, the world has ended. look what a Republican did. Yeah. I'm like, well, you look at those rioters, you know, they had, I forget which college it was, they attacked the one guy and sent a professor to the hospital. Well, those kids are going to get a letter in their file, and if they don't do anything in a year, the letter goes away for assault.
Wow.
Okay. And that's what they got for assaulting those people. And so, you know, you talk about this one. Well, he got a misdemeanor. It's like, yeah, okay. Well, that's worse than those kids assaulting those other ones.
You're right. That's worse than a letter.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyhow, just there's a hypocrisy going on in the media right now.
Sure. Jeff, thanks for calling in today, man. Have a good rest of your Thursday.
One thing I do like about this show, and to be fair, and if you're listening to it or participating in it, either way, there are probably some days you like it and some days you don't.
Sure.
The days when I like it are when people who have completely different opinions call up, but nobody loses their temper and nobody calls each other names. Now, I can understand losing your temper, because I spent many years doing that. I finally quit a few years ago. Lucky me. But and the reason you lose your temper is because something is so important to you. And when somebody completely denigrates it or, you know, downgrades it, you have a tendency to overreact. And possibly that's what the guy did last night. And, you know, he had a little bit of history with The Guardian. That wasn't the first time they'd ever asked him a question.
Sure.
But you've got to keep your head, especially when you're a public figure, because people will try to goad you into everything.
I thought for sure you were going to say the times you like this show is when I'm on it, but maybe that's too much to ask.
I mean, you know, if you brought me bacon.
Oh, if I had bacon, I'd bring it. All right. National news coming up next.
You need it on the way here.
That's a very good point. Then local news with Rick. Then Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage at 1 o'clock, and Nate Chumman at 3. Keep it right here on 670 KBOI.